Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
I'm so glad to be with you again, and we thank the Lord that He is alive and well, and we thank Him for that, and we can praise Him forever because He has the last say about what goes on, and He is about ready to wrap things up and come back to this earth, and the nations of this world are pumping themselves up to go and invade Israel, and when they do, they'll meet the Lord there in the mountains of Israel when they send their armies there, and He will then sit down on Mount Zion and rule over this earth. But meanwhile, everything in the news, they're talking about the elections. And, of course, it's a question where Christians are in this election. And I think this election is so serious to us as Christians for a number of reasons. And we have two candidates, Mr. Trump. And, of course, he has said things that many people talk about privately that they shouldn't be talking about. And were rather disgusting, but the news media has talked a lot about that, but they have made him now into a devil, and they have canonized St. Hillary and never mentioned anything. But for us as Christians, it concerns us because of intolerance, and they promote the sodomite and the abortion agenda, but they're intolerant in our country. Really is based on the Constitution, based on tolerance to a great extent, because it's set up for protecting minorities. But the people that are involved in sodomy and abortion, they want to force Catholic charities and so on to pay for abortions against their will. They want everybody to be forced to recognize sodomy as legitimate, and so. That is what is intolerant, and it's very concerning to what would happen if she would be elected. And we were talking before the program. Brother Al, you have something to say about that, too.
Well, thank you, Bruce. And before I mention it, I just want to remind people they can check out the website, whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com for some of these programs and everything. But, yeah, we're definitely in a very controversial election season, and I certainly encourage Christians to pray and to get involved. And you're talking about things that Donald Trump has said versus Hillary Clinton, and as I've said at church, I've said it on the radio, Donald Trump has said things that has hurt people. Hillary Clinton has said things that has killed people, and people think that is a strong statement, but Benghazi, the Iranian Green Revolution that they chose not to get involved in, furthering the Arab Spring across Egypt and other parts of the Muslim world. And so Christians really need to be involved. There's a lot more at stake other than this person said this, this person said that. There's a Supreme Court that certainly is going to be ruling on a number of issues dealing with same-sex marriage and whether or not men should be allowed into women's bathrooms just because they say, I feel like a girl today. And all these things it's going to come down to, and either Trump or Hillary is going to become the next president. So we have to ask ourselves as Christians, what are we doing to help stem the tide of evil in this world?
Yeah, and then another thing, on it, we have the National Security Council to protect the United States, and they have put Hillary's Secretary of State, and she's put a Muslim from that Muslim extremist organization there, Muslim Brotherhood, on that committee, so they know everything that we're saying and doing to protect ourselves on there. And then they're bringing in thousands of people from these Muslim countries, and I'm sure terrorists are coming in with it. And it shows because there's probably been at least 40 terrorist attacks on people in America. So, and then they, as these people come in, they're spreading them out all over America. And so you don't know when, if you go to a mall or someplace, if they're going to shoot you or something at the mall. I mean, this is all this crazy activity. And then on top of that, these trade deals that we're losing $50 billion a year. I mean, all of this stuff is just so destructive, and people need to think of it. Now, you know, they have an oligarchy, and part of that oligarchy is the media. It's like Hillary and the media is one and the same, and they made a saint. They never mention anything that Bill or Hillary do that is wrong, and they've put her into sainthood. I was watching the programs in the public broadcasting, and I think, boy, what a joker. I don't know what you could call it. We're paying our tax money for public broadcasting, and it's hard line. Hillary is a saint, and Trump is a devil. And but it's the effect on the American people. I mean, this stuff that's going on, I mean, putting the Muslims in so many parts of our government leadership. There's less than 1% are Muslims in the country. 90% say they're Christian. So why is he doing this? And then with all the terrorist activity that's going on, and the media is just on the wrong side of everything, and they make it look so good. And it's just, it's not a bias. Everybody has a bias. It's hardline propaganda. And if you just watch what you see in the media, you're going to be messed up. I would say if you get a chance yet, if you can get the book in the bookstore, Armageddon, by one of the advisor for Bill and Hillary, or, they're the advisor for them. And in this book, it tells what they're doing. And not only that, they're selling America. Bill goes over to Russia, and they've been doing this, and he goes to these different countries, and they pay him money. He went to Russia and made a speech, and they gave him $1 million. And then Hillary gives him, as Secretary of State, access to our uranium mines. Now, where in the world do you read about that or hear about that in the news media, the big news media I'm talking about? I mean, all of this stuff is against Christians and against American people. So it's very, very dangerous what's going on. And some Christians say they shouldn't vote. If there's any time that you should vote, it's now. And it's just amazing. And if you vote for some other candidate, nobody else is going to get close. I mean, I know there's other candidates, but they don't have a slight chance at all. You better get out there, and this time you better vote. There's millions of Christians that didn't vote in the last election. It would have changed the election. And this is one that affects us. I mean, Christians, I believe if she's gets in, we're going to be in big trouble. I mean, you talk about persecution, it's going to be here in the United States. And then it's a threat to the United States of America, because they're going to let more thousands of people from the Middle East. These refugees, and they're stopping, they're slowing down Christian refugees and hardly allowing any Christians to come in. Why can't they go to Muslim countries? There's Muslim countries all over the place, you know? So this is what you're voting for. So the issue is not just the personality of the men and the people, but it's what they have, what their record has showed. And so I hope that you pray about it, and I hope you do something. But we want to get down to business here about the program that we have today. And so we're going to start off in the book of Revelation, chapter 22. And our program is all about, where is God's word? And God says that his words are so important. And so we want to start off in Revelation chapter 22. And as soon as I find it here, we'll read that passage. It's talking about what God says about it. A lot of people can't understand why we make such a issue about the words of the Bible, and that the words have to be so important. But the reason that the words are so important is because God makes an issue about it. Let's see if we find this here. Let's see. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring, and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And he sure is a bright and morning star. He gives the light to the whole world. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Now, God is saying here that he wants everybody. I mean, you may be a head cutter and cut off people's heads, but if you repent of that sin, you won't have to go to hell. And believe me, you do that, and your place is going to be hotter in hell. But you can go to heaven and be forgiven and meet God without any record of your crime. Come and let us, that is the third, and then Jesus says this, and let him that is the thirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Salvation is a free gift. Any religion that says that you work for it or working is a part of religion is a false religion. Jesus says, take the water of life freely. Salvation is absolutely free. When you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, that means he's the boss, he's our creator, he has the right to tell you what to do, and you're God, and your Savior, the one that paid for your sins, you will go to heaven. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, and this is Jesus speaking, if any man shall add unto those things, and shall add unto him, I testify, every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, he says the words, if you take out the words, he gives a solemn threat to anybody that messes with the words. Well, the NIV and the New ASV take out the words in many different places. And Mr. Lockman was told by Dr. Logsdon, who is the pastor of Moody Church, that he was warning them that there is changes made in the New ASV. And so Lockman said, well, I'll talk to you about it when I get back from my honeymoon. And so when he came back, he didn't come back with bride. He came back in a box, and they buried him. And after that, Dr. Logsdon, who is the pastor of Moody Church at that time, has been against the New ASV and the NIV and all these modern translations ever since. And he taught and defended the King James Bible. And God is very serious about these words, and that's what our program is all about. But we will be going on and talking more about this, and then right now Pastor Davis will give his report on science.
Well, thank you, Bruce. And again, just a reminder to check out the website, whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. There's some information about Bruce Musselman there. We have past programs available there that you can listen to. And also Bruce's article that kind of got you started on a lot of this, I guess, correcting the King James Bible. How long ago was that you wrote that? Do you remember when that was?
Some must have been at least 8 or 10 years ago.
Well, more than that. It's because I've known you longer than that.
Okay.
A couple of decades, I think, now. Maybe. Probably. Didn't you write that back in the 70s?
A long time ago.
The 70s or early 80s, I think, is when you wrote that. But at any rate, it's been a while. That's available on there. And so I encourage people to check that out. And also there's some of Bruce preaching and teaching on the history of the Bible and just a number of things that are available there, as well as singing. And you can listen to that at whereisgodsword.com. Well, wanted to mention something here today in the book of Isaiah. And this is kind of timely when we think about this. We look outside, and it's that time of the year when the leaves are turning color, and they're starting to fall off the trees, and they're blowing around. And I was driving down a road just the other day, and I just love it when the leaves are coming down, and they're flying by the window of the car. And it just such a nice look, and all the changes, and the colors, and everything. And there's it's kind of a bittersweet time, because we know the leaves are coming off, the winter's coming, and the trees are going to look like they're dead. And as beautiful as the fall colors are, we know that the trees are going to look dead for several months now. They just be sticking up out of the ground, it looks like. And there's a great passage in Isaiah chapter 6 that God's talking about Isaiah going to the Jewish people, and he's talking about the remnant of them. But I want to read the final verse in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 13. It says, but yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and it shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. And what he's saying is Israel might look like it's dead, but there's still life going to be in it. Talking about a tenth. Well, That's what I want to touch on, since the science is what we're looking at here. The science is entirely accurate here. The teal tree and the oak tree that's here, they look like they're dead when all the leaves drop off. I mean, the colors look very nice when they change colors, but there's something else that's happening. As the days get shorter, the tree is able to sense that, and the amount of chlorophyll that they produce becomes less and less, and there's a unique layer of specialized cells that form at the base of the stem of the leaf, between the stem and the twig that the leaf comes off from, called the abscission layer. It's the same root word that we get scissors from. And that's literally what they do, is they begin to cut the leaf away from the tree. And as these cells develop, as the days get shorter, they begin choking off the veins that allow water and nutrients to flow in and out of the leaf. And they do this for a reason, because in the wintertime, the tree would lose a lot of water due to evaporation from the leaves, or transpiration, as it's called. And then the leaves would freeze, and it would cause damage to the leaves. So the tree begins in the fall pulling all of the nutrients as much as possible out of the leaf. And in doing so, the chlorophyll breaks down, and other pigments that allow the bright colors that we see become visible. But the leaf then becomes dried out. And then finally, as the abscission layer cells grow together, the leaf is separated from the tree, and a little breeze blows it off, or gravity pulls it off, and they fall to the ground. And the remaining nutrients locked up in the cellulose of the leaf decompose and feed the worms and everything on the forest floor, and recycle some of the nutrients that way. But the life-giving sugars and things that were in the tree or in the leaf now have been pulled down into the tree, and though the tree looks dead, the substance is still in them, the life-giving nutrients and things that it needs, and the water is pulled down into the roots of the tree even, so that the tree can last through the wintertime, through the freezing weather of the wintertime, and then, of course, in the spring, with the increase in the length of sunlight and the warmer days, the sap begins to rise from the roots and brings life back to the tree, and the leaves begin to bud and form, and it starts to cycle all over again. And so we have a beautiful picture there, scientifically accurate. Even though the tree appears dead, the substance that gives it life is still in it. And I would add, as we mentioned, even though Israel may look dead, there's still life in it. God has a plan and purpose for it.
Well, thank you for that great report. And I always enjoy these reports, and they really add to the program a lot. Amazing. And the Word of God is so wonderful. You know, last week I was listening to the radio, and the seminary president actually was on there, and he was talking about attacking the King James. I think there's feedback now because of this program, because they're starting to attack, you know, what is said by people that believe that they have a Bible. They all talk, it's a language of illusion, like they have the scripture and they say it's the authority and all that, but then when it gets right down to it, they can't say, like James, we can look at the perfect law of liberty, or we can handle the Word of God. You know, they can't say that because they don't actually believe they have the real Word of God, and actually so much of it they're teaching preachers that they really don't have it. I mean, they have all these little ways of saying this, you know, like no translation is inspired. Well, I wonder, on the day of Pentecost, when they were preaching the Word of God and those people got saved, were those inspired translations? They were, every man heard them in his own language. And you could say, when Moses wrote what Pharaoh was saying, was that an inspired translation? Or in the New Testament, when they were quoting from the Old, was that an inspired translation? And then they say, well, the Bible says, with other people I speak to the men of other tongues, will I speak to this people. And it says the whole world heard the Word of God in the New Testament two times. How did they hear it? You mean if they had to have it in their own language? And so we have these ancient Bibles. There's hundreds of these in the museums in Europe that go right back to that, practically the time of the apostles. And I'm not going to list them today. We've listed them before. And our King James Bible is based on this. But, you know, the Bible itself, now this professor, seminary professor, he quotes from a passage in Timothy, I think it was 2 Timothy 2:15, where it says, study to show thyself proved unto God a workman that not needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then he says, well, we don't know for sure what this means. Well, to me, that's very simple. It means you don't, in the Old Testament, it's told to go to the temple 3 times a year, every man 3 times a year, and offer his blood sacrifice. Well, we're not told to do that today. It's in the Bible, but I mean, we're not told to do that. Jesus said the law and the prophets were until John, you know. Then he goes and he tries to use some Greek word. He doesn't tell what Greek text it is, although there's a dozen of them out there. He doesn't tell what lexicon he's using. And then he says, I guess we can't understand it, see? Then he tells us that the new ASV is an accurate translation. That came from Origen's corruption, passed on by Eusebius, passed on to the popes, and the popes have been pushing it for, passed on to Constantine, and he's been pushing, the popes have been pushing that for 400 years. And it takes out the names of Jesus over 100 times, and he calls this an accurate translation. Then he recommends an NIV, which is based on Nestle's 24th edition. New ASV is based on 23rd edition, 24th. That's been changed in hundreds of places because they found in Oxyrhynchus, Egypt, a whole pile of papyri that actually defends the readings behind the King James Bible. So they changed the NIV again. And he recommends that as accurate. So you see, this is seminary and absolute confusion and chaos. And you see, there's an ecclesiastical problem here because in the New Testament, Jesus trained his own apostles, pastors trained their own pastors, Paul trains his own people. And so the New Testament way is local churches do on-the-job training of preachers and Christian workers. You send them off to school and they pick up stuff from other colleges where they're infidels, listening to a bunch of heathens. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And they're following Westcott and Hort, who are evolutionists. And they're following the Pope's Vatican Bible, which is based on Constantine's Bible, based on Origen's corruptions. And so then you got confusion. So in the New Testament, why they trained their own. And it's very simple. Here's a scripture verse. And all these scripture verses lead you to absolute certainty, whereas this guy's in absolute confusion. And in 2 Timothy, it talks about, Book of Hebrews. That's the one I want here. Hebrews chapter, 2 verse 15. Oh, what was that?
2 Timothy 2:15.
I want that one. All scripture. No, it's the
rightly
word
dividing
of God
the
is
word
quick and powerful and sharper.
Oh, Hebrew, is that Hebrews 4:12?
Yeah, Hebrews 4:12. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dividing soul of the sunder of the soul and spirit, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and there's nothing hid from him. So the word of God is Jesus Christ, but it is also the written words. You can't separate the two of them. Now, to absolutes, what is the absolute certainty? The word of God is quick and powerful. They're talking about revival today. God's not going to send a revival with a corrupt Bible. And God says in the Bible, you've corrupted the words of the living God. Let's talk about the revivals that come right down through history. Paul's revival, when he goes out, he uses the Antioch. He comes from Antioch, and the Antiochian text is the text of the King James Bible. There's Novatian in 250 who preached all over the Roman Empire, had churches following him. What did they use? They used the true text, received text. Then there's Patrick of Ireland, baptized 120,000 people, and turned Ireland upside down. He had the true text. There's Peter Waldo, who preached all over Europe. He had the true text, and his preachers preached all over Europe. There's Luther, who put out the Heilige Schrift, the Lutheran Bible. He had the true text. There's Hubmaier. Baptized thousands of people in Czechoslovakia, had the true word of God. Whitfield who came to America and turned America upside down. There is Finney, who said he never should correct, never felt qualified to correct the Word of God. Schubel Stearns, the thousands of people were saved through him.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.